From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 30th day of September 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about this morning's USDA grain stocks report with Darrell Good, ag economist from the U of I. Take up the impact those reports had in Chicago at the CME Group with Jackie Bakes at Stuart Peterson and discuss the weather forecast not only for the Midwest, but the East Coast and South America. Drew Lerner will be here as we wrap up this edition of the program. From Illinois Public Media, it is Public Radio for the Farming World. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released a couple of reports, the grain stocks number and an update with the wheat figures. Darrell Good, agricultural economist, is here to take us through those numbers. What numbers among them in those figures did you find of importance?
You know, there's three numbers I think everybody looks at in this set of reports. The September 1 estimate of old crop corn and soybean inventories are two of those numbers. September 1 stocks of old crop beans at 191 million bushels. That's 19 million bushels less than projected in USDA's WASDE September report, but only slightly smaller than the average trade guess, I think, looking for about 205 in today's report. Corn stocks, again, old crop being held as of September 1, at 1.73 billion bushels, almost exactly as anticipated both by the trade and by USDA in the earlier WASDE report. And then finally, it's the final estimate of the 2015 wheat crop that came in about 85 million bushels smaller than the previous projection. So in the realm of surprises, that may have been the biggest one, although it probably doesn't alter the balance sheet enough to significantly affect price expectations.
USDA did take time in their executive summary to output some extra figures as it relates to the soybean balance sheet. Why do they do that in this report?
You know, I think what happens with soybeans is always an unusual case because we have a very good accounting of use of soybeans in both the domestic crush and exports, so that when you get the September 1 stocks report year-end inventory, the balance sheet has to be brought into balance, basically. So if the stocks number implies an unusually large or small residual use of soybeans during the previous year, then NAS goes back and reviews its production estimate for the previous crop. And in that case, we had been anticipating that NAS would have to lower its production estimate from last year because previous stocks, quarterly stocks numbers, had implied unusually large residual use. So at the end of the year, USDA does that, and then they did lower last year's production number by 42 million bushels, and then we see what that does for expected residual use of soybeans during the past year. So that soybeans is unique because we have more thorough accounting of soybean consumption than we do the other commodities.
Yeah, when they did that, it dropped to the residuals by 23 million bushels and the total ending stocks by 19 million from the WASDE number that was released in the month of September. The 191 million, that gets rolled forward and will be used now going forward in the balance sheet for the WASDE figures in October?
That's part of the new crop supply. So 191 million bushels will be added to the size of the 2015 harvest, plus 30 million or so million bushels of imports. That will give us the total supply for the upcoming year. And now would suggest that if the consumption has been correctly forecast, then basically the smaller beginning supplies would suggest that year-ending supplies will be 19 million bushels smaller than previously projected. Rather than 450, we'll be closer to 430. But again, we still haven't got the final production number. That will alter the balance sheet even further, perhaps. And we're still working on projections, obviously, on the consumption side. So still a lot to be determined about how big stocks will be at the end of the current marketing year. But this report says that potentially will be smaller than previously projected.
Smaller, but the initial harvest has been very good for soybeans. Acreage could be adjusted, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we have dueling expectations to some extent. I mean, I think you can make a case that soybean acreage has been overestimated, much as it was for 2014. We did see NAST in today's report lower planted acreage from last year by 425,000 acres. I think you could argue that 2015 acreage has been overestimated a bit as well. But if it has, then the question is, when will it be revealed? Will it be revealed in October, January, or a year from now? And then on the other side of the argument, as you mentioned, is that we are hearing some awfully good early yield results on soybeans, not only in Illinois, but throughout the Midwest. So you could argue that perhaps the yield forecast will be increased a bit from what we saw earlier this month.
Anything in the corn numbers that struck you, whether it's on and off farm, in fact, for any of those numbers as unique or different?
You know, I don't really see any significance in either the total magnitude nor the location of the stocks of old crop corn or soybeans.
So when farmers are rolling through the fields at this point, what considerations should they make?
You know, at this juncture, the immediate question is, do you think the crops are smaller or larger than currently forecast? That's going to be the predominant price influencer in the near term. And then secondly is what kind of demand are we going to experience during the upcoming marketing year? And I think there's a little bit more concern on the soybean side perhaps than corn at this point with the competition that we have and may continue to see in the export market from South American production. So I'm still of the mindset that we probably will not experience sustained rallies in corn and soybean prices anytime soon, and that short-term price rallies are opportunities to add to our sales position.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Darrell Good, Ag Economist from the University of Illinois. Jackie Bakes now joins us to take up what the trade looked like in Chicago after those numbers were released from the United States Department of Agriculture. Darrell Good's assessment, Jackie, as we just heard, was that the numbers really didn't make a whole lot of difference in what the bottom line seemed like for the coming crop year, and that producers simply needed to recognize that and reward the marketplace on any short-term rallies. What happens to be your view of the market?
Oh, that's exactly that. I felt that way for quite a long time already, Todd, but today just confirms it. You know, it's if you can't rally the bean market on 191 million bushel carryout, and I think part of the reason they can't rally it is because the USDA raised the crop from last year 41.7 million or bushels. They lowered it, excuse me, by 41.7 million bushels, and we can't even get a big blazing 20 cents out of that or anything. It tells me that traders are taking the yield numbers that are coming in very seriously, and this was a 10-minute report. It was nothing more than that.
All right, so we've moved on from it. What should we talk about now after we've gotten through all of the report? What's next?
Well, I think next is going to be the October USDA report. You know, we'll have updated FSA numbers by then, a little more. I guess I would probably feel better about them from the standpoint that the October used to be the one that we counted on the most. And so the trade, I think, is going to wait and see once just what's going to come out of that and whether or not. Now we know where we are on this. We know that the farmer is sitting on 34.25% of the remaining stocks of corn compared to 37.5% last year. So they've been more aggressive corn sellers, sitting on 26% of beans compared to 23.2% last year and 30.9% of wheat compared to 37.4% last year. So, you know, you look at those numbers and you say, hey, they've been good corn and wheat sellers. They just haven't been very good bean sellers. So I think in general, all of the focus is going to shift now to moving along in the harvest, what's coming in out of the country, and then, of course, the USDA on the next report and whether or not we're going to lower acres or do anything like that.
In general, it feels as if harvest is moving, one, quickly, and two, that even those areas that were the roughest hit are seeing better than expected yields, though I haven't heard a lot about Iowa.
Iowa has been very, what I would call, eerily quiet. It's creepy is what it is, because there's absolutely no complaining about yields in Iowa, absolutely none. And so that tends to make me believe that they're probably getting some pretty good numbers where they are harvesting, because they tend to always be very quiet when the numbers are really, really good. And so that'll still be the kicker. The thing that's interesting, I think I mentioned it this morning, is that one of our Indiana guys said that he 3 weeks ago, he would have never thought he could have averaged 60 bushels on his beans, and he's pretty close to done, and be at 220 on his corn. He thought he was going to probably be in the 170s or somewhere in that neighborhood. And so talked to one of our guys this afternoon. Dry land corn's out in Nebraska coming in 220 to 240. Unbelievable. They never thought they could be better than last year, but they are. And so I had another guy call. He needed to cover another 80,000 bushels of beans because he's getting 80 bushel. He had one field that came in below 80, and that was at 78 bushel on 4,000 acres. So, he's got a lot more beans to cover than he ever thought he was going to have. It's kind of wild and crazy. So you can see why the trade might be a little conservative about getting too, running too fast down the road, to be able to drive this a lot higher. I'm with Daryl. Certainly, any rallies make sales.
Speaking of running down the road, if you turn your attention to South America, Brazil is in the midst of their planting season. How far along do you think they are?
Well, mainland Brazil is reported to be about 2% planted nationwide, and about 40% of the full season corn is planted in southern Brazil. That 40% represents about 35% of all of their full season corn. So, they're moving along pretty well. The interesting part is that the Mato Grosso producers, and this is primarily their largest producers, have already sold somewhere between 40 and 50% of the new crop that they're putting in. They only have 2% planted, but they got 40 to 50% sold compared to 11% last year. And, this is because, we talked last week about the weakness in the real. Well, right now at $8.95, they're getting a price that would be equivalent to what they got with where the real was back in 2012 for $13 beans. So you can see why they've been aggressive sellers, and I think that's another thing that's going to really hold our rallies down. Because anytime we rally, it's likely that we will find the Brazilians coming in and hedging more things. Now, we can't deny that their input costs are higher because they bring those in from outside of Brazil. But it's certainly not enough to keep them from planting another 3 to 5% again this next year. And we can't forget about, that arc up in up on the Amazon River and how much of a change that's making for them from a competitive standpoint and a delivery standpoint.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Scott Butcher is with us from the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana. They produce ethanol at that facility. Scott, thanks so much for taking the time with me. Tell me about conditions on the ground now and how harvest is proceeding in your area.
Things are going well. We've had a little bit of moisture, a little bit of precip here over the last couple of days, so that's kind of slowed down bean harvest just a little bit. Still seeing some good activity on the corn side. A lot of guys going to whatever corn field they can find. I would anticipate that this afternoon, I haven't really seen anything running, but I would anticipate that guys are back in beans today at some point.
And how is the basis holding up in the midst of harvest?
It's definitely weakened up on the bean side. We've seen the bean processor go from, they started out at 10 to 15 over. A few of them were, a little bit better than that at the start of harvest. Now most in our area are, five under the nove, kind of in that area. It just feels like things have kind of slowed down at the processor in terms of off-the-farm movement. A lot of guys going to the bin right now with what beans they're cutting.
Is your expectations for, in at least in your area, basis to remain strong for beans through the gut slot of harvest?
Yeah, I do. I think that, that's the way it feels like right now. Most of the processors, the elevator, I think everybody would like to take a few beans if they could. And that's the lean today anyway.
What kind of yields are you hearing early on from your area?
Yields on the bean side have been very all over the place, I guess is the best way to say it. We've heard anything from, high 30s all the way up to, some in the mid-60s. So just a lot more variation than what we see in a normal, I guess I don't know what normal is anymore, but what you would see in a normal year. I mean, we would see a lot less spread on the bean yield, and certainly seeing a lot this year.
Is this a better than expected outcome than you were thinking about earlier, or not?
Yeah, I think most of the people in our area so far have been satisfied, I guess you could say, with beans. So far, it seems like things are somewhat reasonable. Not going to have those really high yields like maybe you'd have in the past, but definitely better than what maybe there was anticipated.
And a similar assessment for the corn, the yields better than you expected or not, and where you think basis will be headed.
Yeah, corn yields maybe a little bit more disappointing, so far what I've heard anyway. Some fields that were, had pretty good tile, had been tiled recently in the last few years. Still to just not, didn't handle the water very well. I mean, just couldn't get away, and even the ones where, the drainage wasn't an issue, still suffered from nitrogen loss and, didn't get enough nitrogen. So there's been some disappointment on corn yields in our area. Basis still remaining strong in our area for corn. It seems like right now it's just tough with bean harvest going on. Hard to get a lot of movement right now in corn from the farmer.
And what are your bids for the day?
Right now on cash corn, we would be 383, soybeans 875.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. Don't forget, you can find us online at WILLAG.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is here to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. I want to start on the East Coast because they look like they're going to get a lot of rainfall. Can you give me a quick summary and then move right into the growing regions of the United States?
Well, absolutely. Hurricane Joaquin is still going to attack the Middle Atlantic coastal region. We're not sure exactly where it's going to move inland, but it will produce torrents of rain, probably from parts of Virginia northward, right on up through New York and into New England, and there will be a lot of flooding with the storm. It's going to become a fairly large and intense storm system as it moves along. Some of the computer forecast models earlier today were trying to bring it as far to the west as the eastern portions of Ohio by the end of the weekend. That seems to be downplayed a little bit on the midday model runs today, but even if it were to come that far to the west, there would be some moderate rains that would get into the easternmost parts of the Midwest. For everybody else, further to the west, we would see just about ideal conditions taking place for the next 7 days. Almost everybody would be left dry and in a mild temperature regime with low relative humidity. So it would be a very, very good scenario for most areas west of Indiana and west of western Michigan for the next 7 days for getting accomplished in the fields what they want to.
Right, and then turn your attention to South America because as we're getting some things accomplished in those fields, a lot of it is soybeans at this time. They're taking that to the elevator and they're wondering just what they ought to do with that bean crop. Probably most of them are stored in some form, at least at the grain elevator rather than at a bin, although there is plenty of storage on farm too. Can you tell me about the South American weather forecast?
Well, it certainly looks as though the majority of the pattern right now is focused on rain in the south and dry weather in the north. There will be an opportunity for increasing precipitation in the northern crop areas as we move forward through the 8th through the 14th of October. But this first 7 days, rather minimal precipitation in those northern areas. Now, some field work has already begun, even though it's dry. These farmers are betting on the fact that seasonal rains will come around fairly soon and germinate that crop. And it's probably a good bet. I think by the time we get to the end of the month, we will have moisture around to support that process. But I'm not completely convinced it will happen the 8th through the 14th. In the meantime, there's a wheat crop in the southern part of the country that is getting way too much rain and will continue doing so, probably lose quality, maybe even to the point where some of it may end up being feed grade. So we'll have to continue to watch that. That is occurring mostly in Paraná southward to Rio Grande do Sul.
Speaking of wheat crop, in the northern hemisphere, there have been concerns about dry growing conditions as we head into the fall and winter months, especially in, I think, the eastern part of Europe, Ukraine, parts of Russia. What do you see there?
Absolutely. Ukraine and Russia are at the top of that list of problem areas. The planting pace has picked up here in the last week and a half, but there's no moisture, and these crops are going in the ground dry. They're doing that because they're running out of time. Their window for planting is about to close, and so at one point the Ukrainians were only getting about 15 to 20% of the crop in the ground. That was about a week and a half ago, but the word is now that they're planting like crazy just to get some seed in the ground in hopes that there will be moisture before the cold season arrives. Russia is not nearly as far behind or as adversely impacted by the dryness, but they too are having some issues. And of course, there's a lot of reports coming out of all of Eastern Europe and parts of Western portions of the CIS that are suggesting that the summer crops performed poorly this year, with corn top of the list and sunseed right behind it, and then finally the soybean crop, all of which are going to be lower this year relative to normal because of the dryness.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us, Drew. I do appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report for the last day of September. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.